And here is the author of this beautiful book, Judy.
Oh, hello, Dennis. I'm so excited about this because...
Judy, how are you?
Hey, Dennis.
Oh, fantastic, Dennis. So you are the wonderful... Well, for 35 years, Dennis, you've been working with insects and, of course, you're well known for your macro photography. You're just taking photos of insects. So clever. And now you've produced... You've put them all into the ultimate book and you're here to tell us about it. So, now, first of all, actually, what got you into bugs 35 years ago, Dennis?
Oh, well, that's an easy one. As a child, I used to like being outside in the garden.
Ah.
Rummaging around under bushes and climbing in trees and all that kind of thing. And the things that you would find, this was in an inner suburb of Melbourne, the things you would find would be insects and spiders and things like that. And that's sort of where I got started. And eventually... I ended up working for the Victorian Department of Agriculture and Entomological Research and
right.
kind of went on from there. And, of course, now I work for myself as a freelancer, as a photographer and a writer.
Beautiful book, mate. It's a really beautiful book. Yeah.
It's called Garden Pest Diseases and Good Bugs. So, in other words, not all the insects particularly pictured in there are pests, are they?
Yes, that's correct. In fact, most of the first part of the book is devoted to what I call good bugs, which could be parasites or predators and pollinators and things like that.
Yeah, and that's so important because, we often tend to think that if you see something moving in the garden, it's a problem, and most of them aren't. So, but you do actually have some suggestions for controlling pests.
I do. And often I suggest preventing the thing in the first place rather than trying to control something after it's already happened. It's often too late, so it's best to prevent things. And quite often... That can be really simple, like just basic garden hygiene, picking up fallen fruit and all that kind of stuff. Having flowering plants in the garden is always good because it brings in not only the pollinators but also the parasitic wasps because they need a feed of nectar before they can lay their eggs into caterpillars or whatever it is that they're parasitising.
Yeah, so you can get all those natural controls working, which is great. And I also saw you've written about recyclers. I love the idea of recyclers.
Oh, indeed. Look, the classic recycler and probably the most important creature in the garden are earthworms.
Of course,
They're helping to break down organic matter and taking it underground, and they're aerating the soil at the same time. They really are marvellous creatures, and if you've got a nice population of worms in your garden, it means that the soil is in pretty good condition, because earthworms don't like impoverished or dry soils, and they'll just pack their bags and leave.
Oh, look, Dennis, it's all there in the book. It's absolutely fantastic. Garden Pest Diseases and Good Bugs. We're going to Brisbane today as well, so they can learn about the book too. Anyone can buy it. It's published by HarperCollins, $39.99, and the author is Dennis Crawford, we've been talking to, and congratulations,
thanks,
Dennis. A beautiful book.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good on you, Dennis. Now, speaking of our mates in Queensland, you'll be interested to hear, but it was expected, Lawrence Springborg has been elected the new leader of the Queensland Liberal National Party. He's had a couple of goes before as a National Party leader, as you know. So Lawrence Springborg has got the job. Now, that question's very hard. Now, just remember, you're after the plant family. So poor old Abe's been out there taking phone calls. No one's got it right yet. So what family does the tomato belong to? But the plant family, give you a clue, starts with an S.
Yeah.
So have another crack. 9930 9995.
Google it, for heaven's sakes. Who's got to win this?
Yeah, we'll get through. Google it. We'll get through as many as we can before Judy's got to go. G'day, Bill up in Brisbane.
Hi, yes, Bill.
Good afternoon, both.
G'day, mate.
Dahlias.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a problem with rust in the brownie coloured ones.
Right.
And I was just wondering, have you got any ideas that'll alleviate it or prevent it?
Yeah, okay. Well, look, I would suggest a couple of things. One is don't grow the brown ones, because obviously they're the plants that are more susceptible. So, that's one of the control methods. The other thing would be a little bit of an oil spray. So one of the pest oils, sometimes that can help. Don't do it on a hot day, but that coating of oil over the leaves can stop the rust from getting in. And a treatment, if you want to try and sort of break the cycle, would be to use one of the rose sprays, so a rose gun or something like that, because they will all treat rust. So I'd probably say use the rose gun, cut off the worst affected leaves, use the rose spray to try and stop the disease, and then the occasional spray of oil just to keep that coating on there to stop the disease from getting in. Try and keep them as dry as possible. I mean, obviously you can't stop the rain, but when you're watering, if you water at the base rather than over the leaves, that will help. And and if all else fails, get rid of the ones that are most susceptible, because they'll probably end up...
The red ones seem to be okay.
Exactly. There you go. See? So that might be the lesson, Bill.
The yellow ones, the yellowy ones... They're covered in it.
Oh, look, honestly. Right. So, sometimes it's a lesson, I think, that doesn't do in your garden, but you're in the pot, Bill.
Good luck, Bill. Going to move on because there's lots of folks here. Michael wants to transplant a frangipani, Jude. Hi, Michael.
Hello there.
Hey, Michael.
Good. I want to transfer a frangipani, and possibly from it's in the garden, it's in the front of my yard, to a pot because I'm moving, so... It may not be the best time, but that's the way I think.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, the ideal time would be in the middle of winter when the frangipani, or late winter when the frangipani's bare of leaves.
Yeah.
But if you want to do it now while it's in active growth, then and you have to do it now, then all you can do is try and do it with as minimum root disturbance as possible.
Right.
So
water it with some seaweed solution?
Oh, that's after you get it in, yes. Yeah, by all means, you can do that after you've got it settled in its new spot, because that will help root growth. So try and... how big's the frangipani?
It's not a very big one. About a meter tall.
Oh, that should
be. One stem. It's not. Yeah. It's only been in the ground a couple of years.
Yeah, okay. You've got a fairly good chance then, as long as you're trying. Get somebody to help you. Cut around down with the spade so you keep the nice little bit of root area that you can handle. Wrap it up in something or put it in a pot to move it. Move it to the new spot. Once you've got it settled in or into the pot, whatever you're putting it into, that's when you start using the seaweed to get the new roots going. But don't worry about that beforehand.
Quick thing, a rosemary too, what would be the same? Same similar principle to move a rosemary bush?
Yeah, look, that should be fairly easy. Yeah, same principles. Okay, good
luck.
All right,
Michael. Nick from Canterbury, got it? Is it Solanacea?
Solanacea, yeah.
Solanacea.
Good on you, Nick.
On your neck.
I hope you knew it, but if you had to look it up on Google, good luck to you too. I hope you enjoy it.
Back to Brizzy we go. G'day, Les.
G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm all right.
Hey, Les.
Mate, I got a zucchini bushes growing that.
Yeah.
Coming out with grey colour leaves.
Powdery mildew on them, yeah, and that does. Look, you're often better off putting some more in now, getting rid of those if they're really badly infected, or certainly getting rid of the worst infected leaves, starting some others off now, because as you get into later in the season, they tend to not be so susceptible. But what you can use, there's two things you can use. You can either use lime sulphur, or you can use full cream milk, one part of full cream milk to nine parts of water. Spray that over the leaves, but I'd get rid of the worst affected leaves. It's a curse of those plants in Brizzy. Yeah, it's just a real problem.
Zucchini's coming out. They're already flowered and that.
Yeah. I mean, there's no harm in eating those. They'll be fine. But if the disease progresses, then, yeah, you're going to need to either spray or destroy those plants and start some new ones.
Right. But secondly, chocos.
Yeah.
Grown chocos for the last 5 years, but lately the chocos are not coming out. There's plenty of bush there and that, and yellow flowers. Is any certain time of year, how much water on both of those sort of plants?
They tend not to flower until coming into autumn. A little bit of hand pollination would help, so move some of the pollen around from one flower to the other.
All right, now we're going to have to go. You're so popular today. It's a board-a-thon, which is lovely, and out of the pot comes Graham.
Good, Graham. Good Graham was from Brisbane, so isn't that lovely?
Beautiful
one
book.
Of our Brisbane listeners is
Dennis
going to get this beautiful book. So fantastic. Congratulations. Nice to talk to you all, and I'll be a bit better prepared next week.
All the other gardening information we'll have to do next week.
We will.
Judy Horton
don't forget Tomato Festival next week in Sydney.
Indeed.